Welcome to Al Berman Live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California. This is episode 25, and I was going to start recording this about 15, 20 minutes ago, but the old Russian guy that I've talked about on my show here, who knows two words of English, hello and hi, was outside my window where he goes to smoke a cigarette sometimes with with a Russian lady, and they were having a conversation, and it was pretty loud. It wasn't so much he was loud. He was like, and she was like, so I just waited patiently, let them have their little conversation. I figured it wouldn't be longer than the length of time it takes to smoke a cigarette. It was a little bit longer because he smoked a cigarette, and then he'll smoke a cigarette and then just go in, but he's usually by himself. And, you know, that's just the way it is. That's apartment living, folks. And these are the people I come from. That's why I've been taken to task for being loud in certain situations. Sometimes I'm not aware of how booming and loud my voice is. And I'm just, after all these years, starting to be kind of sensitive to that in certain situations. And sometimes I forget, and people go, "Will you just shut up with the booming, loud voice?" And I go, "Okay, sorry. Anyway, it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful sunny day. It's Mother's Day. I'm recording this on Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers. Mothers. That's one of those words that can mean a couple different things. You know, it could be mother or it could be mother. But I'm going to say it's for Happy Mother's Day. And I hope that if your moms are, you know, well and around and all that, that you're able to connect with them. I sent my mom and my sister, because they live together, they live in the same house. I never sent my sister a Mother's Day gift. It didn't occur to me. But this year, for some reason, it did. I just felt like I wanted to do it. And I sent flowers to both my mom and my sister. And it was a big hit, a big surprise, because I usually send my mom a gift card for Barnes & Noble, because she likes to read. And I sent her that, too. My mom had to get very, she had to get in my face a little bit. She goes, "You didn't need to send me flowers and a gift card." "All right, then, Ma, send me the gift card back." No, I'm just kidding. It was a big hit. They loved it. My sister posted the flowers on Facebook. My dad has, you know, they got the flowers on Thursday, and my dad for the past 2-3 days has been totally just pumping me up, just telling me how proud he is of me, how thoughtful I am. Just, you would have thought that I discovered the cure for some, you know, some disease, rather than, you know. But he was just very impressed with my thoughtfulness, and all right, I'm going to take it. I'm going to accept it. I'm going to accept my dad's compliments and say, yes, I am thoughtful. I am one thoughtful guy. And you know, my mom and dad, they've been together for decades. You know, my mom, she's kind of what's the right word here? She's kind of a domineering lady. I don't mean that in a negative sense. I don't mean it in a positive sense either, but I'm going to do an impression of. I called the other day to talk to them, and my mom answered, and I talked to her first, and then I asked to speak to my dad. And here's an impersonation of my mom calling my dad. My dad's nickname is Hesh. Hesh. Okay. So here's my mom calling my dad. Come to the phone and talk to me. Hesh. Hesh. What? Alan's on the phone. They call me Alan. All right. And then my dad comes to the phone. I go, "Dad, you know, it wasn't that big of a deal. I'm sorry. My mom shouldn't have yelled like that. I could have called you back, or you could have called me. I didn't really, it wasn't imperative that we speak at this moment." I hope that impersonation, it's meant to be humorous and scary. So if it hits you on both levels at the same time, I've done my job. If it only hits you on one level, at a time, I've done my job. If it hits you on no levels at any time, I've done my job. Okay, I've done my job. I'm doing it. What else? This past week we had the big moon? The big moon came. You know, the moon was closer to the Earth. I don't know. It was moved over, came to visit the Earth closer. And I didn't see it on the exact night. I just didn't see it. You know, I was looking from my window and I couldn't find it. But the next night, it was still pretty big. And I was by Whole Foods. And so there's a security guard in the parking lot I see all the time. And I pointed out to him, I said, look at that big moon. And he goes, yes. You know, he's a Hispanic guy. Yes, the moon is big. He goes, you know, Iran, they said they shoot missile through the moon. I don't know, that's not really a Spanish accent, is it? Now I'm doing an Iranian. I don't know, I'm doing some, what, I'm not the great, sometimes I'm not great at accents. But just bear with me. He goes, the Iran should shoot missile through the moon. I go, what are you talking about? It shoot, shot. Yeah, last year they shoot missile to the moon. And I never heard about this. I said they shot the missile right through the moon. So apparently Iran shot a missile through the moon, according to this guy. Unless I'm misunderstanding him. His English, of course, is not that great. So I never heard this. I don't know what he's talking about. Breaking news from my apartment building here. The new manager... controversy goes on. Gus, the on-site manager, who's rarely on site, as I've told you before, is on his way out. His regime is over. Apparently, there's been a coup, some kind of coup. My understanding is that there's one of the tenants that's moved in the last year, a lady and her husband, are allegedly to take over. This has not been official, and I've been told this through, you know, it's all hearsay. But somehow, in the hearsay, I heard through the hearsay, through the grapevine, that the powers that be that run this place weren't too thrilled that I knew about this information and that I was talking about it. And it's, you know, I don't know why it's such a big secret. You know, what the big deal is, isn't some kind of CIA situation, is it? And I actually think this lady and her husband, I think the lady will be a very good manager. I support her regime if she does decide to move in. But for some reason, I just heard that they weren't the people that own the place and, you know, weren't too thrilled. You know, how does Al know about this and why is he talking about it? You know, how can we silence him, this whistleblower? I don't really care. I don't care who's the manager of the building. Just get somebody. I don't care. And the latest update on the garden they installed, you know, they put in roses, and at this point, all of the flowers are dead. That's right. The roses, the flowers lasted for about, what, a month? And now we have just pits, like four pits of mud. And a fountain in the middle. I don't know what they're doing. And there's weird hoses. I might take a picture later. I kind of was having trouble, you know, posting pictures. I should probably, I'm going to maybe try to post a picture of this, of one of the mud pits. I don't understand these people that, you know, this is some garden. Maybe it's a mud garden. Maybe that's what they want. We just want a mud garden. So I got rid of the pool. We have a mud garden. And, So that's the breaking news in the building. I'll keep you abreast on when the new regime takes office. And next up, my friend Jason is going to be in a wedding party. He's going to be a groomsman in a friend of his, a guy that we both used to work for. He's friendly with this guy. Me and this guy, we used to kid around, but we were never super friendly. And give you a little background on this guy. I won't mention his name, but he was born Catholic, and then at about the age of 30 or so, decided that he wanted to convert to being a Jew. And that's what this had nothing to do with any relationship he had with anybody, any woman. Nobody was pressuring him to become a Jew. He just liked. the Jewish race, faith, the religion, and he wanted to become a Jew. And so he studied. I think he had to study. Like, you know, to become a Jew is not easy. First of all, the rabbi has to deny you like three times. I think you have to say, Rabbi, can I be a Jew? No, get out of here. Rabbi, can I be a Jew? No, I said leave. Rabbi, can I be? I want to be a Jew. All right, come here, you. Get over here. You want to be a Jew? I'll make you a Jew. But it's not like being a Christian. Like Christians, you know, born-again Christians, you just, you know, can become a Christian. Like you just, you know, say some words and get, you know, and then you're a Christian. But Jews, you got to study and you got to get like a degree. You got to get like a diploma. I think it takes a couple years. And this guy went and did all that. And he even did, like at the age of whatever, 32, 33, whatever it was. Actually, even though he was already circumcised, my understanding is part of becoming a Jew is he had to not be circumcised, but they had to prick his prick. They had to do like put some kind of thing, draw blood. That weirds me out. This guy, I understand somebody has seen this guy before, and he's let's put it this way: if I was in doubt as him, I wouldn't have had to compensate and be so funny in my life. But he became a Jew, and a very proud Jew. As a matter of fact, he would often say to me, Berman, he would call me Berman, do you know what today is? Well, I don't know. Today is the 14th of Chach. Oh, that's very nice. I'm very glad to hear it's the 14th of Chach. And then he met this woman. They were friends, and I guess they attended the same temple together. And they were friends. They were just friends, platonic friends. And then I guess it became a little bit more. And then one thing led to another. And next thing you know, she's with child. And then they have a child out of wedlock. And well, let me just back up here for a second. Whenever he would try to get me to observe Judaism more closely, and I would reject his offers. He would give me this look like he was like a disgusted Jewish uncle, like ugh, the way his parents must be doing to him for leaving the Catholic faith. And I mean, personally, I went to 5 years of Orthodox Hebrew school, and I wasn't even brought up Orthodox. And that's a whole other story I'll get into another time. So I've got total respect. Whatever religion you want to be, whatever, fine, and I respect it. It's great. I have respect for the traditions. I love corned beef and chopped liver, you know, but I just don't identify with the whole, I just don't get into the whole Jewish thing that much, you know, forgive me. I'm just, you know, that's just who I am. And he would get very, kind of judgmental with me about, oh, you don't want to go to the temple with me and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, he goes and has a baby out of wedlock. You know, it seems to me like it would be a big deal in most religions, right? But apparently, according to his rabbi, that was A-okay for the time being. And they could live together and raise this child, which is fine with me. I don't care. I'm just saying, if you're going to judge me because I won't go to the temple, and you're having a kid out of wedlock, most people, you know, a lot of people are going to judge you. I'm not going to judge you. I'm not judging you either way. But my point is, they had a kid out of wedlock. And they've been, I think the kid's about two, something like that, maybe three, maybe two or three. I don't know, whatever. And now they are going to get married. They're going to get married. They're going to actually get married. And Jason is a groomsman. And whatever that, I guess he's just the wedding party. I guess he just walks down the aisle. Well, I guess he's got more. He just found out another duty that he could, if he accepts it, he will do. Apparently, the morning of the wedding, this gentleman who's getting married, has to immerse himself in water. I guess he goes with a rabbi or whatever to the beach, and he has to immerse himself in water. But he has to be naked, okay? Now, we don't really have any naked beaches around here, so he's got to go into the water and take his trunks off, you know, risking being busted for lewd conduct all in the name of this religious thing. And that's not the kicker. The kicker is he has to have a witness to this. I guess it's not enough that the rabbi's witnessing. you know, I'm assuming the rabbi's going to be there. I mean, I figure you got to have like a religious leader to kind of, you know, officiate. Is that the right word? Officiate. But he's got Jason. He's asked Jason if Jason would go in the water and witness this. And I don't. And Jason said, "Let me get back to you on this." He's thinking about it. He might do it. I asked Jason, "Does that mean you have to be naked too?" And he says he doesn't think so, because it's not really him who has to be purified. And I just think it's kind of funny that they're making all this big deal about purification. They've been living out of wedlock for 2 years. And whatever. God bless them all. But the point is, I said, Jason, please do me a favor and don't bring my name up with this guy, because I you don't think I'm being invited to the wedding, right? He goes, "No, good. I don't want to be, you know, I really don't want to go to the wedding. I'm not big on going to weddings, and then I don't want to feel obligated to get this guy a gift. And, you know, I'm happy for him, but it's like I'm just not close to the guy. And I don't want to, because I heard about another guy that we used to work, that he knows, that we, you know, mutual friend of ours, that, you know, this guy hardly ever, he never sees, never in touch with, I don't think, and he's inviting him to the wedding. So Jason has agreed to keep my name on the down low. And so that's that on that. So, and then we had a big excitement in the neighborhood this week. Barack Obama, the president of the United States, the leader of the free world, visited my neighborhood. He came to do a fundraiser at George Clooney's house. Now, before you get excited and go, "Al, you're neighbors with George Clooney?" Yes, I'm neighbors with George Clooney. As a matter of fact, just this morning, George came over and said, "Al, do you have any eggs? I'm out of eggs." And I said, "George, of course I have eggs for you. Get out." No, George is probably as the crow flies, which is a term, I don't know where I got it from because I'm an urban guy, but as the crow flies, he probably only lives about 2 miles from my house, but he lives, I think, up in what's called Fryman Canyon, which is up in the hills, and I'm in the flats. And they were doing a fundraiser at his house for Barack Obama, for his re-election. And what excitement. I mean, I was driving before he was going to land, I think, 6 at 6:30 at Burbank Airport, and I live near there. So the surrounding areas leading up to where George Clooney's house is were just, you know, cordoned off with police, you know, on every corner, just, you know, streets shut down, you know, traffic diverted, because they got to protect this guy, right? You know, in case, you know, Lee Harvey Oswald shows up. And, you know, very exciting, you know, forgetting what I was going to, my ADD is kicking in here. Forgetting where I was going with this. The streets were shut down, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, you know, I didn't get to see him actually show up because I had to go to work. But his caravan passed the supermarket, the one that I go to a lot, I talk about a lot, where I go to a lot, passed by there. And there's like 30 cars that go by, that went by. And you couldn't really tell which one he was in, although one of the customers claimed that he rolled the window down and waved, which I find highly improbable, since that would defeat the purpose of shutting down all these streets, you know. But he's like the ultimate rock star. I mean, you know, it just shut everything down. A caravan of 30 cars. "What's up, America? President of the United States in the hails." You know, and I was thinking, is like, you know, the president probably has any money on him. He has no reason to carry a credit card. I mean, it's not like someone's going to go, "Excuse me, Mr. President, can you break a 20? You know, I mean, you know, when he's on the move, everything's taken care of. And I was just thinking the logistics of this. I mean, how many people does it take to move this guy, including all the law enforcement, local law enforcement? It's got to be 100 or hundreds. He got criticized because of, you know, it was a rich people function. But where's he going to go to get money? You know, and apparently these are rich people that don't mind his tax policies. So, you know, whatever. I mean, I'm not a political guy, and I'm going to vote for him. And for one reason only, well, maybe I have other reasons, but one reason mainly It's because of him I've got health insurance now. Because of his, what he's instituted, a company sprung up and took me with my pre-existing hips. So I owe him that much. And although he keeps hitting me up on emails and they want money for their campaign, and then I'm not contributing to the campaign. I'm sorry. I'll contribute money to other things. Get your money somewhere else. You got enough money. Don't get it from me. I will vote for you, though. I am. You got my vote. So, what else? And I guess last but not least, I had another credit card thing happening this week. That a different thing than happened the week or so ago. I was looking at my credit card statement online and noticed I had a foreign transaction fee, which confused me since it was only $3.24. Because first of all, I haven't gone overseas, number one. But number two, I purchase things online, and everything that I've purchased, I think, is an American company usually. And so I call my bank, to find out what this, foreign transaction fee was for. And it's just so frustrating because, besides the ugly on-hold music, I'm not going to do a bit about that again, but I get this girl and she's like, very polite. And then she starts telling me, I ask her, what is this for? And she goes, well, it could be for this charge, or it could be for that charge. Or I said, wait a minute. I didn't have to call you to sit around going, it could be for this charge. Could you tell me what it's for? Could you be specific? And she goes, well, I don't have that information. And I go, you don't have that information? Why would you not have that information? Why are they hiding that information from you? That seems kind of weird. And, when they actually charge it, did they say, hey, Joe, charge Al Berman a foreign transaction fee just on one of those, whatever purchase you want, just make it up. Maybe that's what they're doing. I don't know. But so I got a little indignant with her. And I have to emphasize that I do not treat service people badly. But I did yell at her, and I apologized, because she kind of cut me off and kept talking over me and wasn't listening at one point. Because she kept, and also being this agreeing with me. Yes, sir, I understand how you feel. Well, you understand how I feel? Well, then what are you talking? I called you to find out why I have this foreign transaction fee, and you're telling me it could be this, it could be that, it could be this, it could be that. I want to know specifically. That's the point of the phone call. The point of the phone call is not for you and I to daydream and imagine, well, it could be for anything. So she goes, well, could you hold on, sir, and I will check this. And I go, okay, fine. And she comes back, and she says it was for two transactions. One was from a month ago from a company that I believe is a U.S. company, but they have local. It's like when you order groceries. Like one day it was raining or something, and I wanted to get a couple things. I didn't want to feel like going out, so I had them deliver some stuff to me. I've ordered from them before. I've never noticed a foreign transaction fee before, but apparently she said that was for that, and then for this other thing I just ordered the other day, which I believe was in Washington State, but I'm going to call them Monday because maybe they're. They have a banking thing in Canada. That's what my guess is. But I said to her, wait a minute, I got a hat on my. So I'm going to call my landline to call the company that delivered the groceries. And, she goes, well, they might have like a foreign call center. So I call up and and it's like, hello, groceries, like a Russian guy. And I go, hi, sir. And I go, sir, where are you located? And he goes, I'm in Burbank. So you're not now out of the country. You're in Burbank, right? He goes, yes. So I explained to him about the foreign transaction fee, which took a little while because he didn't really understand what I was talking about. And I go, he goes, well, I look at your charge. You charge $18 and you give $4 tip to the driver. Yes. He goes, that's all I know. I don't know anything about foreign transaction fee. I go, okay, thank you. So I get back on and she says, well, no, the people at the company wouldn't know anything about the foreign transaction fee. I'm going, this is ridiculous. And it's just like one of those things that happened to me with the phone company where I just couldn't figure out the bill. They couldn't explain it to me properly enough. And I ended up just paying it. And I think that's kind of a drag because even though it's not a lot of money, like only $3.24, you know, you times that times what? 1,000, 100,000, 1,000,000, 10,000,000, 20, whatever. These people are making bank, bro. Bro. I call everybody bro. So, I don't know. I'm gonna try to get to the bottom. Monday I'm going to see if I can find out some more information. And then if I do, I'm sure I'll just bring it up next week. So, that's about it. I think we've come to the end of another fabulous podcast. I really want to thank all those who listen, who say kind things to me about this. And, you know, I can't emphasize enough how much I appreciate you people listening. I just found out somebody else listened the other day. And it's slowly building. I think I have 13 listeners now. I don't know how many. I don't have an accurate way yet of keeping track of this, but I will. I will. It's all new. Although episode 25, what does that indicate? I mean, if you do an average of one a week, that's about 6 months. And there was like 1 month where I did one every 2 weeks. So about 6-7 months I've been doing this. It's fun. It's a great creative outlet for me. And I do, again, want to say I appreciate people listening. So, again, thanks again. And until next week, this is Al Berman live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California.